Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the moment that you've given us to turn aside to you one more time. I pray for myself. I pray for every one of our friends listening today, Father, that you would be at work in our hearts. I pray that you would encourage and challenge and inspire us to center our lives on you one more time. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite books about habits is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it's such a good book. I've read it twice. I'll probably read it again because my habits are not great and our habits determine how we spend our time. So whenever we make an effort to grow, to make healthy choices, to become healthier people, we always take a look at our habits to determine where can we add healthy habits into our life. It's such a fascinating book, and he talks about this idea that winners and losers have the same goals. And he said, what happens is they see different results, right? Obviously, there's a huge difference between the winner side and the loser side. And he said, what happens is if you're not really getting the success that you're hoping for or the change in your life, chances are it's not your goal that's the problem, it's your system to actually live out and do those goals. He said, we don't rise to the level of our goals, but we fall to the level of our systems. Our habits are things that we do day after day after day. Those small little choices, those small decisions that really make up our lifetime. He said this powerful idea, new goals don't deliver new results, new lifestyles do. And a lifestyle is a process, not an outcome. For this reason, your energy should go into building better habits, not chasing better results. And that's where the hard part comes in, because we all want the better results, but we get kind of stymied in the how to get the results. And he says we put our energy into building better habits. To grow in life, we focus on better habits. And he has this really simple idea that I want to share with us today, because we're all going to make a commitment. We're going to try and we're going to practice it together. He calls it the 2-minute rule. He said, the best place that you can start, whenever you have a habit that you're trying to build, you scale it down to 2 minutes. So spend 2 minutes on it every single day. So if reading is a goal, read one page. If writing is a goal, write one sentence. If exercising is a goal, take out your yoga mat, put your shoes on, scale it down to 2 minutes. He said, what happens is a habit has to be established before it can be approved. You have to be the person who does it every single day before you can improve on it and do more with it. And that becomes a new normal in your life that you can grow off of. You have to be the person who shows up for 2 minutes before you can be that person who does it in a really big way. And I love this because he says every improvement we make in our life, it's like a grain of sand towards the positive side of the scale. And sometimes they seem so small, don't they? They're just minuscule little things. But over time, they add up and they weigh things in our favor. And at first, it feels like it's just so small and it's so slow. But the adding up and accruing over time ends up making a huge difference over a lifetime. And the secret to this is just to never stop making improvements. And I'm fascinated by this idea because I want to do better in this regard, right? Many of us have set really big goals for our lives and we've tried like, okay, we're going to go big or go home. And we've had these like huge, big things that we've tried to accomplish. And many of us have fizzled out quickly, right? We try and go all in and we show up for like a day, a week, a month, but it's impossible to sustain it over time. Life happens, things get messy, we get distracted, things become less urgent and less important. And our motivation wears off, and eventually we find ourselves giving up on the goals altogether. But this 2-minute rule is a great place to start, because we could all show up for 2 minutes a day, right? We could take 2 minutes to start creating a new normal in our life. And as we think about this, I really want to use this idea to think about how we center our lives on God. We've been talking about why we can build our lives around God because he's strong and faithful and he is true and just and he is stable enough to hold us up to build our lives on. And as we center our lives on him, we have to get to know him better. It's hard to build your life on something that you don't understand. It's hard to grow your life on someone you don't know. And so to really center our lives on him, we have to get to know him better and connect to him regularly. Paul reminds us of this incredible idea in his letter to the Ephesians that one of the ways that we really get to connect to God is through prayer. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He said, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is a great chapter in Ephesians. Paul is in this chapter saying, like, okay, here's how we become strong in the Lord. And he pulls out all these imagery of like the belt of truth and the shield and all of these really cool ideas. And he wraps it up with this idea of praying and the power that comes with it. We strengthen our connection to God through prayer. And what happens is, as we strengthen our connection to God, prayer strengthens us for life and all of these things that we're bumping into daily, regularly, again and again. At its really basic form, prayer is communication with God. It's talking to Him and it's meeting God where we are and spending time with Him there. But it's also a seeking out of God and turning aside to Him. Prayer can be spoken out loud or it can be silent in our hearts. Prayer is this place where we really open ourselves up honestly to God and we allow ourselves to be open to Him to see us in return. And it's a habit of attention. It's where we put our focus and the habit that we create daily in our lives, this turning our attention to God. Philip Yancey wrote a really cool book about prayer, and he said, prayer helps correct myopia, calling to mind a perspective I daily forget. I keep reversing roles, thinking of ways in which God should serve me rather than vice versa. We get our perspective wrong in life, and prayer helps shift us back again and again. Rather than looking for ways God should be serving me, prayer puts our focus back on Him and how we can serve Him. And in his book, he quotes Simon Turgwell, who says, God invites us to take a holiday, to stop being God for a while and let Him be God. God is inviting us to take a break, to play truant. We can stop doing all those important things we have to do in our capacity as God and leave it to Him to be God. And friends, this is such a powerful idea because it reconnects us again to who God is and who He's called us to be. And many of us in our lives have been trying to do it all in our own capacity. And we've been trying to tell God, well, I got this. This is how it's supposed to be. Let me do my thing. And we've been trying to do all of the things and control all of the things. And prayer is where we just get to take a break. We get to take a vacation from trying to do everything and really let God be God and turn to Him. So there's four ideas in this verse from Paul that I want us to really think through. The first one he says is praying at all times. And this idea is that there really isn't any time in our life that we can't pray. There's no part in our life where we can't grow from prayer, and there's no relationship that we have that cannot be strengthened when we pray. We can begin our day with prayer, end our day with prayer, pray anywhere in between throughout our day. The goal of it is connecting with God again and again and again so that He can do His good work in us. And it starts with us turning aside the habit of attention that we give to God. And this is where that two-minute rule really comes in. What if we used this to start our prayer life with God? What if we said, I want to be a person who prays every single day? Okay, so the goal becomes praying every day. So we scale that down to 2 minutes. Every day, we're going to pray 2 minutes. We're going to turn aside to God for 2 minutes. And as we grow and become the person who spends that time with God every single day, then we get to develop that further and deeper and grow in our relationship with Him. We find as we spend time with God, we want to spend more time with Him. We find that as we pray, we see God showing up and moving again and again and again. And friends, there's nothing more powerful than seeking God, calling out to God, turning to God again and again, and seeing Him show up when you do. And here's what's powerful. Paul says when we pray at all times, We aren't doing it alone. We're praying in the Spirit. I love how Charles Swindoll helps us understand this idea. He says, we do battle in God's strength, not on our own. In our pleas to God, the Spirit himself comes to our aid. To pray in his Spirit means to pray by his power, according to his ability, not ours, and in accordance with his will. And that's such a powerful idea because God reminds us we have the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us. That's what he does. That's his job. That's his work. He's at work teaching us and comforting us and guiding us and calling us and sending us. When we think about the Holy Spirit, Thomas Oden, the theologian, helps us. He says, in Christ we learn what God has done on our behalf. By the Spirit, we are being enabled to reshape our doing in response to what God has done, to reform our loves in relation to God's incomparable love, to allow God's redeeming work to touch every aspect of our broken lives. I love those three words that he says, reshape our doing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps reshape our doing so that as we turn to God and think about God and spend time with him and create the habit of attention, he's at work in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls, reshaping our actions and our living in connection to our relationship to Christ. And many times we have the hearts to pray and we can't even get out the words, the articulation of what we're trying to say. And the Holy Spirit helps. He intercedes and he speaks for us when we can't get the words out on our own. He's at work connecting us to God. So as we pray at all times. There's no time in our life that we can't pray. And we pray in the Holy Spirit because he's there to help connect us to God and reshape our doing to who God has called us to be. What if we started today, friends? What if we said, I'm going to make that two-minute rule an application I use right now. And starting today, we just became the people who pray every single day. And we set a couple minutes aside and we build and we grow on that and we pray at all times together. And then Paul also says, keep alert. And this is paying attention. It means to be really intent upon a thing. And we all know how attention works, right? Like there are some things that we're so captivated by, like you couldn't shake my attention if you tried. There's other times I'm so distracted, you can't get my attention to stay focused because I've got all these other things going on. As we learn to pray, as we create time every day to turn aside and pay attention with God, we do it with intention and with purpose. And as we set this time apart to pray and connect to God, our goal is to give all of our attention, all of our focus to him. And I know there's so many things going on around us. The world is loud, life is loud, my house is loud, and it can be so easy to get distracted by all these things that are happening around us. But prayer is this time that we sit down and try to focus, not on the million things, but on the one. It's this time that we don't do anything else, right? We don't grab our phone. We don't get distracted by the other things going on. We don't get distracted by the people. Our goal is to give our complete attention to God and put our focus on him. Because here's the truth. We have a God who wants to be known by us. God wants to be found, and he's willing to meet us. He's willing to connect with us. He's willing to show up and move. But first, we got to shut down all of the loud and busy distractions in our life that would push him out and make it hard to see him. And then as we find this quiet time to turn to God, our hearts and our minds, our attention towards him, we find that there is the God there who wants to know us and meet us in this place. You know, last week we talked about reading the Bible as a way to really center our lives and connect to God. And the Bible can also help us in our prayer life. As we are reading the Bible and memorizing verses and thinking through big ideas together, these can be the things that help focus our attention on God. We think about him as we read about him, and we use these big thoughts to turn our hearts to prayer. Psalms is a great place to start. It's filled with these wonderful prayers, and they're like real. I love the book of Psalms because it always reminds me like you're allowed to be real with God. I know there's all of these like fancy prayers and big prayers and we're always going to be respectful and reverent of God. But man, they are raw and they're real. And it's people who are hurting and struggling and just opening up their hearts and turning to God. The Psalms is a great place to start. Read some of these prayers and start using them as we pray to God and put our focus and our attention on Him. And then the third thing Paul says is, okay, we got to pray at all times in the Spirit. We got to keep alert, but we got to pray with perseverance too. Now, many of us have like learned the idea of perseverance the hard way, right? Because we had to persevere. Really, to persevere means to persist and not give up, even when you're faced with opposition, even when you're overwhelmed with discouragement, you keep on moving forward. In fact, perseverance doesn't happen without some type of attention, trying to keep whatever it is you're doing from happening. That's at the root of perseverance. Something is trying to stop me, but we move forward anyways. It's not usually the starting that's hard. It's the continuing, right? Like we can get like super excited and stoked up to start something new. We've started all kinds of things before, bought all of the nice things that we needed to go along with it. But it's the doing it again and again and again that we start to fade out on. And perseverance is continuing even when we're faced with problems, even when things get hard, even when we get distracted or discouraged. That idea of perseverance allows us to keep showing up, to keep going and keep trying, to not give up, even when things aren't changing, even when things aren't going the way that we want them to be, even as things aren't as they should be, we persevere. And sometimes we've experienced this in prayer. What happens when we pray and we feel like we don't get an immediate response from God? Or what happens when we pray and what we pray for doesn't happen right away and we think, well, God, what's up? Like, I prayed. Things should change. It should be different right away. And it's easy to think, well, I prayed. I prayed for it once. It should have happened. It didn't. And then our tendency is to give up because things didn't change as we should, thought they should. Or it's easy to quit and say, well, I tried that. It didn't really work out for me. It wasn't really, you know, helpful. Prayer absolutely requires perseverance and faith. The challenge is, do I really believe that I'm connecting with God as I spend this time with Him? Do I really believe that God is who He says He is and that He'll do what He says He will do? Do I really believe that God is listening when I pray and that God is a God who answers prayers? Here's what I've learned again and again and again. There are many times in my life I've given up on God, but God has never given up on me. There are times I have been faithless, but God has always been faithful. And we pray not to convince God to change His heart or not to do something to change His mind, but because God uses prayer to change something in each and every one of us. God takes this time that we spend with Him and that we turn to Him and we put our attention and our focus and talk to Him and pour out our hearts to Him. And He is at work in us in the process. Our perseverance in this is an expression of our faith that God is who He says He is and that God is a God who answers prayers. And friends, we never stop praying. God promised if we ask, He'll answer. If we seek, He'll be found. If we knock, the door will be open to us. God wants to be found by us. We never stop praying because we never stop believing that no matter how hard things are, no matter how impossible the situation may be, there's nothing that's too hard for God. And we pray when things are good, and we pray when things are hard, and we pray at every moment in between. Because God is a God who hears our cries and answers our prayers because He is at work and He isn't finished yet. So we persevere, we persist, we continue, we don't quit, we refuse to give up, and we turn to God again and again and again. And then here's the last idea Paul gives us. We can pray for each other. Paul says, making supplication for all the saints, Or maybe you have it like, pray for the Lord's people, pray for each other. Like, one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is this ability that we get to pray with each other and for each other. You know, we were never meant to do life alone. God never created us to be an island unto ourselves. The church is God's great gift that we get to do life together and grow together and worship together, and we get to serve together and do life in the kind of way that we see God at work in us and through us, and we get to pray for each other. One of the ways that we learn to pray is by praying with each other. Instead of being intimidated, like, oh, I'm not a good prayer and I'm really not good at talking out loud, prayer isn't trying to impress each other. It's not who's the holiest and can say the biggest words in connection in a line. It's really where we get to be real with each other and open our hearts to God with each other and learn from each other and call on God together. There's something so encouraging that happens when you know somebody's praying for you. Not just in like the pat, well, I'll pray for you, but like they mean it and they do and they pray for you and they check in and you're pleading with God and now you know somebody else is pleading with God on your behalf. Something wonderful happens when you've been praying together and you've been pleading with God for something and then you get to celebrate what you've been praying for together. You get to say, we prayed and God showed up and we got to see him and look what he did. And it becomes this shared experience that you can remember and celebrate with somebody else who knows because they were right there alongside praying with you. We've had a week of prayer in our church for the last, 38, 39 years. I'm off on the number, but something like that. And it's this powerful time where our church has come together two times a year and we pray for each other. And we pray for the church, and we pray for our communities, and we pray together in groups all across the church and across our communities. And friends, I can't tell you how many times we've seen God show up and do impossible things in our church that allowed us to grow, and impossible things in our personal life that we never thought we could be done. I'll never forget the day my husband and I sat there and we were pleading with God for a baby and our friends circled around us and they laid their hands on us and our other friend was there and they were praying for a baby and we had this moment together and our friends just cried out to God for us. And both of us got pregnant within weeks of each other. And I'll never forget how powerful this moment was even all of those years ago, because we prayed and God listened and he showed up. And ours isn't the only story. We have story after story of what God has done in these powerful moments of prayer. Praying for each other is such an incredible gift. Praying for people that we love, praying for our spouses, our family, our kids, praying for our church, praying for our coworkers, praying for our community. It's a great gift that we get to have to pray for each other. But friends, we could also pray for the people that we don't like. Instead of the next time, like, you really feel compelled to complain about somebody because they're, I know, and terrible and the worst and everything is horrible and they're worse than any other person could ever be, we prayed for them instead. The next time we found ourselves really frustrated by somebody and really just upset, what if we prayed for them? What might happen if we became the people who didn't just pray for each other, but prayed for the people that we don't like the most? Prayed for the people that we have the most struggle with, the hardest relationships with. What if we turn to God with that? What might God do? It is an incredible gift to be invited into this relationship with God, to connect with him and grow with him. And to get to do that with others is such an incredible blessing. So who are you praying with? Who have you said, you know what, let's do this together. It's better when you have a friend. It's better because you're not doing it by yourself. When I want to go exercise, I like going with a friend because it's, one, I'll go because I made the commitment. But two, I like having the shared experience. And in our prayer lives, it's great to have somebody that we can pray with, somebody that we get to turn to and we get to grow with and connect with. But then who are you praying for? As you spend this time with God, connecting with him, who's on your list that you're thinking about and praying for? Paul reminds us that when we pray at all times in the Spirit, when we keep alert and pray with perseverance and pray for each other, we grow powerfully in our connection to God. I know many of us celebrated St. Patrick's Day this week, pulled out our green, all of our shamrocks, all of the silly things, and did all of the fun things. It's interesting, the real St. Patrick was a man who lived in the 4th century, so a very long time ago, and he went to Ireland with the goal of teaching people about God. And there's a prayer that's actually attributed to him that he prayed for protection as this trip, and here's how the prayer goes. He said, "I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eyes to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of the devil, from temptations of vices, from everyone who will desire me ill, afar and near, alone or in the multitude." And it's such a powerful prayer. He felt called to do this great work, and he prayed for God to help him and go before him and hold him up as he went. And I think as we make this commitment to be people who pray, as we are connecting to God and centering our lives on him, the goal of prayer becomes God at work in us. And as we center our lives on him, he's able to prepare us and uphold us and protect us and grow us and encourage us and challenge us and help us, comfort us and direct us. And friends, he is the one who gives us hope. What if we became people who prayed again and again and again, and we did not quit? What might God possibly do in us, through us, and in this wonderful world that we live? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would spark something within each and every one of us, Father, that we would feel compelled and excited to spend this time with you. I pray, Father, as we center our lives on you, help us to know you better. Help this time to be spent connecting to you in the kind of way that grows our faith and our courage and our hope and our wisdom. I pray, Father, that we would commit to be people who turn aside to you every single day, and that in this time we spend with you, you would do an awesome work in us and through us. Help us to be people who speak to you, who share our lives with you, who get to know you better. And I pray the end result, Father, would be the name of Jesus Christ lifted high in our hearts, in our churches, in our homes, and in our communities. In his name we pray. Amen.